We are in Likutei Moharan, Torah Chaf Sif Hei, Torah 20, Part 5 in Likutei Moharan, in this Torah called Tish'a Tikkunim. And this Torah in Likutei Moharan is all about the formula that Rabbi Nachman gives us for drawing forth the waters of the Torah, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, the waters of Miriam, into our life, to give us life. The eternal waters, the waters of eternal life, which is the waters of the Torah, they quench the deepest thirst of our soul, and they heal us, and they give us life. The waters of the wellspring of Miriam represent the waters of the Torah. And they are drawn from the supernal rock. The supernal rock is not really a rock at all. It's only called a rock because it's infinitely supportive. Just like a rock is stable, never changing. It's always there, and it's powerful, and it's strong, and nothing can penetrate it. So metaphorically, the supernal heart, even though it's the softest, most compassionate, most loving, most caring heart in all the universe, okay? Infinitely caring, infinitely compassionate, infinitely soft and loving, unconditionally soft and loving. But still, it's also the most powerful, most supportive rock, okay? And this is what we have in many of the Tehillim. Amen Selah. Selah sometimes means forever, for all of eternity. And it also, even though it's written differently, right? Selah with an ayin is a rock, and Selah with a hey is forever. But they have a similarity in that the rock has a certain stability, a certain consistently reliable, absolute, complete reliability. And that's this heavenly supernal rock. And that's the source of the Torah. The source of the Torah is that no matter what happens, no matter how things seem, when we are tapped into that, when we are drinking from those living waters, we are alive for all of eternity. So even though there might be some bumps along the way sometimes, or challenges that we go through, but there is a certain reliability that no matter what happens to us in this physical realm, no matter what is going on in our life, that sometimes it seems like it's difficult and painful, and things seems like we're going backwards, it seems like we're going in the wrong direction, and things are just getting worse for us. But at the end of the day, as long as we're tapped into that tree of life, so the essence of who we are is impenetrable. Nothing can hurt it. Nothing can decrease its light. Nothing can kill it. Nothing can extinguish it. Nothing can hurt it in any way. It's constant. It's forever. And that's what the waters of this supernal heart give us. That's the waters of the Torah. That's what it gives us. It's nitzchiut, it's called in Hebrew, right? Lanetzach. Lanetzach kol achosim bo. Forever. For all those that rely upon it. Just like you rely upon the shade of a tree. Kol achosim bo. It's like taking, you're sitting in his shadow. You're sitting in his protection, okay? So for whenever we are tapped into that, we're relying on Hashem. We are turning to Hashem, relying on Hashem with a complete certainty, a recognition that Hashem is the source of all life, and Hashem is beyond time and space. And there's nothing and nobody that will be forever and ever except for Hashem. Hashem always was and always will be and always is. And so when we're tapped into that, we are included in that. And so nothing in the world can ever take away from that, can ever decrease that or minimize that. That's absolute. And so that's what we get from these living waters, these holy waters of the wellspring of Miriam, the explanations of the Torah. Rabbi Nachman says it's the explanations of the Torah that are drawn from the supernal heart. And in this heart is included all of the explanations of the Torah. And so there's a formula through which we are able to draw down these explanations of the Torah. We're able to bring forth the waters from these holy wellspring of the living waters of the Torah through the supernal, from the supernal heart, from Hashem's heart. And that's the formula Rabbi Nachman is explaining to us in this Torah. And he begins by telling us, explaining to us that there is a soul called Miriam. She is the source and the channel of all the explanations of the Torah for the whole generation. This Miriam soul, in order for her to be the channel for all these explanations of the Torah, she needs that her words be passionate with fire, with a holy fire. And we explained what the holy fire is all about in the previous classes. And when, God forbid, there is an indifference, a cold apathetic indifference to her words, to the words of the Torah, coming from this Miriam soul, then that fire is extinguished. And when it's extinguished, she passes away. And when she passes away, then all the explanations of the Torah are also taken away from the generation, and they're left without any water. And that's what happened in the Midbar when Miriam passed away. They had nothing to drink. And when there's no water, when the waters of the Torah are lost from the generation, then they don't have the answers to all their questions. There's a question in the depths of a person's soul that needs to be answered in order for a person to continue living, in order for a person to continue experiencing that inner peace. And peace is just an expression of Hashem's presence within the person. And that expression, that experience of Hashem's presence within the person is from the Torah. The Torah comes and answers the deepest questions of the soul and removes any doubts, any uncertainty, and brings a person to that inner peace. And so that's the answers to all of our questions, the solution to all of our problems. And that's the waters of the Torah that quench the deepest thirst of the soul. When that's lost, people are uneasy. People fall into the illusion of separateness. People fall into quarrels and arguments, and especially against the leaders of the generation, against Moshe and Aaron, which is exactly what happened in the desert when Miriam passed away. Then Rabbi Nachman explains to us that now the tzaddik, after Miriam passes away, he needs to, again, draw forth the explanations of the Torah for the generation, right? That's what Moshe does after Miriam passes away. He has to now bring forth the waters for the generation so they have what to drink. And so there's a specific process that he needs to go through. And the process is so specific that if the tzaddik follows this process in the wrong way, it can lead to his demise. It can lead to his death, chas v'shalom, which is what we know what happened with Moshe and Aaron. Both of them died in the desert. They both passed away before being able to enter Eretz Yisrael, before being able to get to that final place. And so what's the specific process? Rabbi Nachman outlines for us that the process is by opening. You need to open the supernal heart so that the waters can be drawn to you. But in order to open the supernal heart, you must open up your heart in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in prayer to Hashem. And that prayer that is coming from your heart, to that extent and to that degree, it opens up Hashem's heart. And then there is this holy fire, this holy fiery passion that is drawn to the tzaddik. And through it, through that energy, the words of prayer and Torah are drawn forth. These living waters are drawn to him through that energy of that fiery passion. And Rabbi Nachman explains to us that in order to do this effectively, to follow this process effectively, he must connect himself to all of the people that are gathered around him, the tzaddik. So when he prays on behalf of the congregation, on behalf of everyone that is gathered to hear the Torah, in connection to all of their souls, so that's a prayer that comes from many hearts, right? Everyone's heart that is there, combined as one. And we spoke yesterday about the tremendous significance of the many that are combined as one, which is most beloved thing to Hashem. That's the reason why Hashem created the world, that from the many become one. And that's the secret of Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem. And so when the tzaddik prays and the prayer is coming from all of those gathered, unified as one, with a connect, the tzaddik connects himself to the heart, to the soul of everyone there. And from that connection, from that prayer of the whole congregation, tefillat rabim, right? That type of prayer is never refused. That type of prayer is always completely effective at opening up the supernal heart. And there's a much greater quality and quantity of Torah that is drawn forth through such a prayer, through such an opening of the heart, through this connection that happens. And so therefore, if you're there and you're part of that process, because the tzaddik connects himself to your soul, you have a part. It's in your merit as well, through your soul, that that Torah was drawn to this world. And so that's tremendous, tremendous, tremendous significance. And aside from that, says Rabbi Nachum, there's another added benefit in being there. And that is that when the tzaddik gives over this Torah, when he opens up his heart in prayer and he draws forth the Torah, so there's a staff of the tzaddik, the staff of Moshe. What is this aspect called the staff of Moshe? That's built, it's created from the accumulation and the combination of all of the merits of the tzaddik, all of the mitzvot, ma'asim tovim, that the tzaddik lived, fulfilled in his life and lived in accordance to the Hashem and Hashem's Torah and mitzvot, all of that together is combined, creates this very, very powerful spiritual staff that Moshe has. And through it, he subdues and eliminates and removes any negativity surrounding the hearts of all of those present, and any negativity, any of the enemies surrounding Yerushalayim, surrounding the supernal heart, which is called Yerushalayim in the Zohar, in the Torah, it's called Yerushalayim, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so by being there, you take part, by taking part in that process, your heart is cleansed. All of these blocks that are surrounding the heart, that are trying to block out and conceal its light, are now removed in the power of the staff of Moshe, the tzaddik that is giving over this Torah. And so Rabbi Nachman says that it's extremely important that the tzaddik, when he gives over the Torah, even though at this point, because Hashem tells Moshe, take your staff and gather the nation, at this point, the merits of Moshe, the merits of the tzaddik are awakened. That powerful staff is now shining bright. Okay, it's glowing. Its power is revealed. The tzaddik must make sure that he doesn't use that. That's not what he is to use in order to open up the supernal heart. He doesn't pray to Hashem with his merits. Oh, Hashem, please answer me because I'm such a tzaddik, because I live my life in accordance to your Torah and mitzvot, because I have all these good deeds, because I did all of these, all of these sacrifices for you and for glorifying your name. That's not how he is praying to Hashem, because that means he's using the staff to hit the rock, to hit the supernal heart, in order to force it, to coerce it, to give him the Torah. And that's exactly what happened with Moshe. That's the way that the tzaddik must make sure that he doesn't do that. Even though his staff is glowing and it's in his hand and it's awakened and it's revealed, right? No. When he prays, when he wants to draw forth the waters from the supernal heart, it has to be through a prayer, b'matanat chinam. B'matanat chinam means that he's davening, he's appealing to Hashem's unconditional giving, unconditional love, that is independent of whatever I did in my life in the past. It's coming from a much deeper place, okay? And so that's what we're up to here in part Hey. We began it a little bit yesterday, but let's just review from the beginning of Ot Hey again. כי ברבים יש בהם טובים ורעים וצריך להכניע הרע שברעים כנ"ל אבל לפני השם יתברך יעמוד כדל וכרש וידבר תחנונים ולא יתלה בשום זכות וזהו ויתחנן אל השם בעת ההיא לאמור שצריך לדבר תחנונים בשעה שרוצה לומר היינו קודם אדמו שווייץ. So part 5 in the story begins with Rabbi Nachman explains that in the congregation there are aspects of good and aspects of not good, aspects that are in alignment with Hashem and his Torah and mitzvot, and aspects that are misaligned, that are considered enemies of Jerusalem, okay? Inconsistencies, okay? And most of us are full of these inconsistencies, the ego, the midot raot, sometimes we have faulty belief systems that we're not even aware of, and misguided perspectives and attitudes in the way we live our life. And so there's a mixture there that's going on in the congregation, and that needs to be dissolved, it needs to be removed in order that the supernal heart and the heart within us can shine brightly and be awakened in a pure and holy way, right? Without any enemies surrounding it, right? without any enemies constricting that light. That's what they're trying to do. The enemies surrounding Yerushalayim, they're trying to constrict the light of the heart, of the chiyus. But we want to remove that so that it can shine brightly, completely, freely, right? So that needs to be removed. But Rabbi Nachman says that's removed, dissolved only through the staff of Moshe. But the staff of Moshe is used specifically and exclusively for that. But when it comes to the prayer, he has to pray. He needs to pray with this humble attitude. I'm not saying that I'm worthy of it. I'm not demanding. It's not a demand, and that's a very important distinction here. His prayer is not bebechina. It's not a prayer of demanding from Hashem that you better give this to me because look, I'm worthy of it, and I live my life in this way, and it's only right that I get this. No, it's an absolute request. Hashem, please, are you willing to? I know that this is your wish. I know that this is your desire. I know that you have unconditional love for me. I know that you have infinite compassion. And I know that you understand where I am, where we are, what we're feeling, what we're going through. I know that you're constantly with us. And I know that you see in our hearts right now the pain of our soul experiencing this tremendous thirst. And you know how empty we feel, the void that we feel inside, and how we are lost, we are hopeless without your Torah and mitzvah. And so Hashem, please, are you willing to, with your unconditional love, with your unconditional compassion, to give us life through your Torah, to give us the explanations that will answer all of our questions and solve all of our problems? And so if you're willing to, that's what it is. It's not, well, you better. Or please, or you have to, you know, it's not demanding, it's if you're willing to. Okay, so it's appealing to Hashem's will, it's appealing to Hashem's heart, and it's a completely different energy, that type of tefillah. Then says Rabbi Nachman, "Vezehu ta'ut she'ta'a Moshe, she'akadosh baruch hu amar le'Moshe kach et ha'mate, ve'akel et ha'ida, v'dibart el ha'sel le'einehem." שיקח ממשלת עוזו שיש לו ממצוות ומעשים טובים שלו והקהל את העדה כי בשעת הקהל שיש בהם גם רעים צריך מטה עוז כדי להכניע רשעתם קנה. And so says Rabbi Nachman, well, this was exactly the mistake that Moshe made in the midbar, in the desert. First of all, I just want to point out something interesting here. An important point. In the Torah, in the Mefarshim, in the commentaries on the Torah, there have been given tens, if not hundreds upon hundreds of explanations throughout all of history, explaining what was exactly the mistake of Moshe, okay? And if you open up any of the Rishonim, the Achronim definitely, but even the Rishonim, they were very, very, very involved in trying to understand and clarify what was the exact mistake that Moshe made, okay? And there are a lot of arguments going on, a lot of different opinions, okay, going on. Just look at the Orach Chaim, Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, on that part, and you'll see how he brings all the Rishonim, and he argues on this one, and argues on that one, brings his own explanation. And so they were very involved in trying to understand what this is, what was the mistake that Moshe made. And so there's an important insight. I think it's very, very crucial to remember when learning any explanation of what was the mistake of Moshe. And this insight is given by the Chidush Arim, the grandfather of the Sfat Emet. And he explains, he says like this, he says, look, he says, Moshe, our teacher, Moshe, was the greatest prophet ever, okay? Nobody knew Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody had clarity like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if he made a mistake, says the Chidush Arim, then you can be sure that all of the explanations that you ever come up with of what was Moshe's mistake, all of the understandings that you may ever learn or read about what was really the mistake of Moshe, you can be sure that Moshe knew the whole Torah. He gave us the whole Torah. Everything that we have today, everything that we ever have, was downloaded. Moshe Rabbeinu received it in his consciousness at that point. You can be sure that he knew that explanation as well. You can be sure that he knew that explanation that you're learning right now about what his mistake was. He knew that as well. And so if he knew that, it's obvious that that was not his mistake. And so then what's the purpose of all of the Rishonim and the Achronim, all the commentaries, all the rabbis throughout the generations explaining what was the mistake of Moshe? Because everything in the Torah applies on multiple levels to each one of us. And so there is a lesson that can be learned. Every person, according to their soul, what their understanding is, there's a lesson that can be learned to each one of us on our level. What would be the representation, the lesson to us personally that affects us, that applies to us about this story with Moshe that we can learn from? Because on Moshe's level, that's beyond us. Maybe that's something that we could never understand. What was the mistake on Moshe's level? Okay. Now, that being said, after that's all said, and it sounds like I'm saying something that makes what we're learning now in Rabbi Nachman a little bit less really applicable, but it is absolutely applicable. Now, after all that, Rabbi Nachman, when he gives over his Torah, and he said this a few times, he's giving his Torah over, but there are multiple levels of meaning and understanding that are hidden in the words of Rabbi Nachman. And so when he gives over this Torah, we are understanding these words that we're understanding right now, but we must know that just like a metaphor, you understand it on that simple level of the metaphor itself, but there are levels of deeper meaning behind it. And every time your consciousness and your understanding expands, so your understanding of the meaning behind the metaphor, what it's representing, deepens and expands. In the same way, what we're learning here in this Torah in Rabbi Nachman about what was the mistake of Moshe, imagine it like the outer clothing. Right now, we're just understanding these words of Rabbi Nachman. It's like the outer levush, the outer layer of what this was. But if we contemplate and really meditate on this explanation Rabbi Nachman gives us enough, then throughout our life, we will come to deeper and deeper understandings of what these words metaphorically represent. What are deeper meanings of what that mistake was? And even then, remember always that if you had that understanding, then Moshe Rabbeinu definitely had that understanding, and you're still not there. And so, but it's always deeper and deeper meaning of what that was and how you can apply it to you in your personal serving Hashem, in your personal reality, and how you connect to Hashem. And so now that being said, Rabbi Nachman says that this was the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem told Moshe, take the staff and gather the community, gather the nation, and you shall speak to the boulder, you shall speak to the rock, to the boulder in their presence, right? So Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he should take the authority, his authority, his leadership, the power of authority that he had, which is his staff, his strength, which was created by virtue of his mitzvot and good deeds. And with that staff, he should gather the community. That's the purpose of the staff, to gather the nation. What does it mean to gather them? So Rabbi Nachman says, because it's only needed for the gathering of the community. It's only needed in order to remove, to eliminate the negativity that is mixed into that congregation, that is mixed into the people and the people that are gathered around him. That's the purpose of the staff, not to take the water out of the boulder. It's for the people that are gathered there in order to eliminate any negativity that is going on there on any level, okay? Because when they are gathered around him, there are people that have some of that misalignment with inconsistencies with Hashem and his Torah. And you need the staff, this powerful staff, this holy staff of the tzaddik, in order to eliminate that those inconsistencies. But then v'achakach v'dibarta el ha'sela le'enehem en dibur el ha'nachat. But then you should speak to the boulder in their presence. And Rabbi Nachman brings a Gemara, and it's a Medrash, and it's a Zohar, that Dibur is said with humility. So the word Vedibata, you shall speak to the boulder in front of them, in their presence, implies the fact that the Torah, that Hashem uses this word Vedibata, that implies that it should be with humility. Okay, it's not with power, it's not demanding, it's a different energy. It's a softer energy, Okay, that's what Dibor is. Dibor is benachat. It's with softness. Shishpoch sichot filato betachanunim kedal ukerash, that he should pour out his words and prayers, pour it out from his heart, okay, with that compassionate, empathic connection with Hashem. Kedal ukerash, like a pauper and a beggar. What does it mean, like a pauper and a beggar? Meaning that I don't have anything to force you. I don't have any leverage to get you to do my bidding, right? I'm just completely appealing to your heart, to your natural giving. That's what I'm appealing to here in this request. Elasela, and that's how you should speak and pray to the supernal heart. Hainu lev ha'edion, the divine heart of Hashem, this boulder. Le'enehem daika, in front of them, in their presence. She'yea kahal bishat ma'aseh, that the nation, that the congregation should be there at this time. Why is the congregation gathered there? In order that he should connect himself to their souls. And they will be included in this process. And so we'll see the continuation of this Bezrat Hashem in the next shir.